This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
It's a drunken soiree in the Whiff Inn.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.
Stu's just had a little sip of his coffee. I've just finished my coffee. You know what time it is. It's time for us to go and take big fat shits. Or, as we like to call it, Hardcore Listing.
It was tea time, actually. I've got a cup of tea.
Had a tea?
Yeah. Ooh. Just I had a brew. Normally like a coffee. I did have a coffee when I woke up this morning. What's the time now? 10:13. But that's my second brew. I've had a cup of coffee when I woke up at about 6:30 this morning. And I got into the office about 8:30. It's my second brew. This is a fascinating chat.
And all I'm going to say about
Huel, sitting there in your Huel.
Do you know
t-shirt.
What? How embarrassing is this? I was on a meeting this morning in a Huel top, drinking out of a Huel flask, and people in the meeting were going, "Chris, I've got this really strong desire to have some Huel."
Huel, the fuck is that idiot?
He needs to Huel out. That was a terrible pun. That's my worst pun. I had coffee, but I heard that the thing is on coffee is that you shouldn't have it straight away first thing in the morning.
But I had a pint of water first.
The science of it is you should always have a pint of water, but the science is something along the lines of you've got to give it a couple of hours. Otherwise, what happens is there's certain receptors that the coffee connects to that means that you're going to dip a bit too soon in the afternoon. You've got to give it a couple of hours, then you have your first coffee, and then you won't have such a big crash in the afternoon. I think the guy is called Andrew Huberman. You ever heard of that guy?
No.
Yeah, he's quite a well known sort of neuroscientist, I think, in America. And he does lots of health and fitness. Oh, he would have done. He would have done. Of course he would have done.
I really like a coffee when I come downstairs in the morning, so he can poke his fucking theory up his arsehole.
Fair enough. Welcome to Hardcore. Welcome to Hardcore Listening. If this is your first time listening, we do top fives. We will sometimes have guests on. Sometimes it's me and me mate, me old mucker, Stu.
Hello.
We'll just run down a top five, and often are horrible to each other. Sometimes complimentary, sometimes we get into it and we get a bit deep because we're deep thinkers, like Leonardo DiCaprio in Gangs of New York.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. I'm very, very bright.
Yes.
So sometimes I have to sort of dumb it down because I worry that I operate on a level above the listeners.
You'll lose me, and then therefore the fucking listeners have got literally no fucking chance. Yeah. It's like sometimes when you talk, you make a joke or you say something like quite clever or witty, and for the listeners, it's like showing a dog a card trick.
Yeah.
They really just like stare at you vacantly. I've seen your live shows.
I know that I'm hilarious.
Yeah, no. And very, very bright. I like that. I think it's very, very bright. Stuart Whiffin.
Bright. Right. I might get a bright tattoo. Right. Can't wear bats. Maybe just like behind my ear with a little arrow just pointing up. Right.
Yeah. I like that, mate. I had a mate called Simon Bright at school, and he was in a TV show, I think, called Teabag, which isn't as sexy. Like, Teabag just meant a teabag back in the day. before pre-internet.
Was Teabag like a woman?
A witch, yeah.
A witch, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And he was T-shirt.
Ah.
And he was like the local celebrity with Simon Bright.
Right.
Yeah.
What happened to Simon Bright?
Probably a crackhead.
Bright anymore? Yeah.
Sorry, Simon, if you're listening. My mate, what I mean by that is he was at my school and I knew that he was in a TV show. Like he wouldn't have known me back then. Now he'd recognise me because I'm fucking famous.
Yeah. But there was quite a lot of cast of Grange. You live where I live.
Right. Yeah.
The original Banksy, Stuart Banks. He was from round our way. There was one of Imelda Davies's gang. Her real name was Ruth Carraway. She's from Grays. And Faye from Grange Hill. I used to see up the school gate and still just literally lose my shit over.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was all happening around our way on the Grange Hill, which kind of ties in nicely.
Talking about... it does, like nostalgia. But you know, talking about hiring dregs for Grange Hill from, you know, basically the arsehole of the country, we should probably talk about our sponsors.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's kick things off with a proper firm kick. Of losers. Say What Podcast, hosted by notorious FAWT, Big Papa J. Lady P's been on there quite a lot recently. Do you know what? Right, slag this podcast off every week. Fuck me, and are funny.
It is very funny.
It really is. Who was I chatting to the other day that said, like, was it me and you was talking to someone and they were saying that they've been listening to it and they just can't understand like how he operates at this level.
Yeah, he's just he's got the most amazing mind. I like Justin is one of my favourite people, and as horrible as I am, why I like Justin is his creativity of thought, like how he combines different scenarios into his brain. Oh, is it drugs?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
It's drugs and reprehensible ego.
Yeah. Yeah. It's ego, drugs, and
tiny cop.
Pure desperation.
How did he land Antonio? He's probably got a fucking gigantic dong, isn't he? Because he's got nothing else.
No, he's got nothing. He's got nothing. His personality is horrific.
It is bad.
His sense of humour operates on a level that only he understands. and yeah, I don't know. I don't know how he bagged Antonia. I think she's stuck with him now, unfortunately.
He strapped her with kids, didn't he? He threw it up there. He put what did he say he did? He just put a drawing pin in a couple of condoms and then, hey presto, Spike came along.
Got it forever. Who else?
Someone who doesn't randomly put holes in condoms, as far as I know, is Renshi Simon James of the Southern Martial Arts. If you wish to learn martial arts, there's no place better to go for all your karate needs. And you can become an instructor as well. He will fast track you. So if you're looking for a new career, you want to do something healthy that keep your body in great shape, your mind in good shape, give you some good confidence and the ability to look after yourself and your loved ones, then yeah, get a career as a karate instructor. Go and check out Southern Martial Arts.
No, sometimes when you just have really odd thoughts of like, what would be the most fucked up thing that I could do at this point? When you walk past a pension and you just think like, oh my God, like they've literally been walking down this road for about 3 hours and they've got nowhere. I wonder what would happen if I punched them clean in the face.
What a karate reverse punch.
Yeah. But so where I was going with that was I was having a run the other day and at the park near where I live, there's a hall where they do a karate class.
Yeah.
And all these kids had finished their class and they're all outside in their gis with their sort of white belts and red belts, all like kind of practicing their first kata outside and showing their parents it. And they were all just kind of doing the punching and stuff. As I sort of run through there, just thought, what'd happen if I just walked in there and said, who fucking wants it? and just started offering out loads of these kids in their karate suits.
Oh, like, mate. We just prove how hard you are, though, as well.
Exactly. That's what I thought.
You know what I love watching is those YouTube videos of the randos who just walk into a boxing gym.
Oh, that's the best.
And they just think they're going to have a round and they just get absolutely embarrassed. But what's scarier is after they get embarrassed and they still don't think they've lost.
Yeah.
And you just think, oh, mate, that's so tragic. But when you said about old age pensioners, what I like to do, you remember the good old-fashioned crane kick from Karate Kid?
Yeah.
I like to just stand on one leg in the crane kick position, just in the high street, just waiting for the pen. It will take them 10 minutes, even though they're only like 10 metres away. It will take them a good like 5 minutes to get to me. But then I just complete the kick.
Yeah.
Because they're so busy looking on the floor, they don't realise that I've just been winding up for that whole full 5 minutes and then just full blast them in the face.
If you want to see...
get it for my TikTok account.
A really good example of what Chris is talking about. Just Google Charlie Zelenoff. Zelenoff has decided that he's got multiple boxing belts.
UBC Underground Boxing Champ in the championship.
Unbeaten.
Perfect record.
I do worry that not all is well. But he walks into gyms and just says, like, who wants to spar? And then as soon as someone goes, yeah, sure. The minute they even sort of go to touch gloves, he swings the hardest possible haymaker at them. Yeah. And there's loads of footage of like just blokes in like normal gyms, not like fight gyms, just going, oh, okay, yeah, we'll have a little spar. And he just literally just steamrolls them with these massive shots. They're like, dude, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But he called out Deontay Wilder online for ages. And then he turns up at Deontay Wilder's gym. And Deontay Wilder, like a former heavyweight champ of the world, he's not seeing the funny side of this.
Nah.
He fucks him up.
He does. And, like,
but he punches Floyd Mayweather's, he tries to spar Floyd Mayweather's dad.
Bad, yeah.
And
sucker punches him, didn't he, a couple of times?
And then bear in mind, Floyd Sr., he's got to be in his like 60s.
Yeah, absolutely.
Still got it and just fucking smashes him up. Mm. And then there's a really good one where he calls out some boxer and then just throws a haymaker, and then obviously most of these are really good boxers, so they just don't get caught up in it. But then they grab him outside because he still goes on, and they choke him out as well, and it's fantastic to watch. Charlie Zelenoff, if you want to see somebody getting involved in combat sports the wrong way,
absolutely.
Anyway,
absolutely, freaking lovely. Yes, you went to do a lovely, lovely little subtle link to it earlier, and then I pulled you back, slapped our sponsors around the face, but we're going to dive back into it. You were talking about nostalgia.
Mm.
So what's the top five, my man?
Top five nostalgic smells.
Mm.
So.
Come.
On number one, I can't believe you've already gone straight in there. So I guess this is, you know, smells that kind of take you back to happier times or give you a bit
of a flashback. Yeah.
On memories.
Yeah. Take you back there, don't they? They suck you in, don't they, smells?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Did you know that the olfactory system is the least known thing? So the sense of smell is the one that scientists know the least about. And yet it's so powerful, isn't it? Like that ability to fucking, like, you get a whiff of one of these smells and you are fucking zips right back to sometimes a specific thing. Yeah. And you're like, shit, how did it do that?
I've got a smell that I can't describe. Right?
You do? Like whenever I'm with you, I'm like, it's beyond pheromones.
Sorry. There is a smell that I can't describe, right, that I smell very rarely.
Mm.
And it takes me back to being probably four and having this plastic toy phone. And the smell of that phoning my next door neighbour, this girl called Natalie that, God knows whatever happened to her. But
she's married to Simon Bright, crackhead as well.
Oh, right. Slippery slope, isn't it? Mm. But yeah, and it's just like the weird, that's not my number five, but just like a little, like, weird smell just takes me straight back to a conversation on a toy phone.
Wow.
What must be one of my earliest ever memories.
Yeah, yeah. That's incredible, bro.
Quite strange.
No, it's cracking. Come. So yeah, just come. Well look, I'm gonna play off that one. Right. Because one that's kind of similar to that, and I nearly said along the lines of rubber from like toys as a kid. because there's certain ones that do trigger me. But the smell of a strawberry eraser that you used to get at schools. And I don't want to say much more. Have you got any stationery in your top five?
No, but I'll definitely get involved in this one. That's a great share.
So that and the smell of the inside of a pencil case, which is, it sounds crazy, but it's that rubber. Like the pencil case is more like a PVC or latex. It has a distinct smell.
A little bit of like pencil shavings as well.
Oh, yeah. You've really added a little extra something to that nostalgia there, Stu. What great work. But yeah, that the smell of the fucking rubber. I mean, if someone might snap, there's the other rubbers that were a little bit more chalky. But if you snap that released a little bit more of a scent.
Well, and, my age, I kind of was the first generation of kids that got the scented so rubbers. Lucky.
Yeah.
Like, not Johnny's. That was probably your generation. But I remember because. Basically, my mate's dad had a warehouse and he was the biggest importer in the UK of these rubbers.
I'm telling me this is so crazy.
And there was lots of furore because like kids were eating them and dying and like getting because they were so smelled so delicious. And That's Life, the TV show, done a report on him and literally like tried to kick the doors of his warehouse in, and he was having this to and fro with the door.
Jesus.
They were trying to do an expose on this importer of rubbers, which is hilarious. But them rubbers, I've got two that stick in my head. I had a custard cream one that smelled unbelievable. And lots of them used to get lots of them in like the lipstick kind of case.
Yeah. No.
And I had but I had a Coca-Cola one.
Yeah.
And it just smelled of Coke. And it was so good. Yeah. Station, I can't believe I overlooked that. It's a great shout, dude.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I'm no doubt. As KTP, one of our wonderful listeners, has she got
got 350 fucking
stickers. She's got, what are her collections? Because she's got some mental collections, isn't it? And I'm sure one of them's relating to stationery.
Yeah, she's obsessed, isn't she? She does all the unboxing videos of kind of random stationery. I don't know if it's rubbers specifically.
No. But,
I think she's got all the collections, though.
No, she's completed life, 100%. That smell just takes you straight back, man. That whole stationery type world is just fucking wonderful, and I love it. What's your number five?
I'm going to go.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Go for some sort of teenage smells of grooming products.
I've got one as well.
I'm going to take
myself. I love grooming.
And so it takes me back to when I was probably 14. And so at the time, you'd buy a tub of hair gel.
Oh, yeah.
And it'd either be like, you know, like neon green, red, blue.
Is that really jelly stuff, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And like, and you'd buy like a tub of it, and like my hair was like rock hard.
Hard.
Like I would just coat my hair. I probably had a very similar haircut to what I got now. And I would just absolutely just get like a big wadge of this hair gel. And like, and it was around the time of like sort of having spikes, and you know, you'd spike your hair with the gel. But around that time, the smell of them tubs of gel, which you can still see every now and again in like the pan shop and things like that, I think, buy a tub of gel. The smell of that, like I can just absolutely smell it so clearly now. And then what happened when I was around 14 was the evolution of mousse. You would put mousse on your hair. I don't even
Stephen the sound. Yeah. BO5.
But is that still a thing? Can you buy hair mousse
I guess so. But does it make... Because once, by the time, although it comes out foamy, by the time you put it in your hair, isn't it just the same as gel, really, by that point?
Yeah, it was.
I don't see how it lifts it or gives it volume.
It didn't. It just made it rock hard.
Same as gel.
Same as gel. And so, yeah, that sound and smell... of like just hair mousse is ridiculous. But I'm going to throw an aftershave in. I presume you've got one of them.
But
mine would be before yours. Okay. I have a feeling I know what yours is.
Mine is the ultimate 90s. Well, probably. Yeah, go on.
I'm going late 80s. Mm. And I remember that my mate Gareth, he was the only person we knew that had a bottle of it. And I think his then girlfriend like got it for him for his birthday, and we're like, holy shit, because we all had like literally like High Karate and Brute and stuff that like you'd get like or like a Lynx aftershave that came in a box at Christmas.
Yeah,
he had a tiny little bottle of Kuros, and I remember just thinking, fuck hell, and then we'd be like, let's have a drop of Kuros, and he's like, no, fuck off. And it was a tiny little bottle, and I understand why. So, and like, he just kind of like come downstairs and he'd smell a Kuros, and I was like, you're fucking bossing it. You've got, at 14, like, I literally barely had any pubes. He had a bird and Kuros.
Well, he had a bird because of Kuros.
Yeah, it's you know, it's a self-fulfilling, you know, thing, isn't it? It's like, like, I remember just thinking, you are fucking winning, gal. Like, you reek a Kuros and you've probably stuck your fingers in a vagina. What's your
probably
number,
those
mate?
Same fingers. probably stung a bit. Which always reminds me of when I used to slap a bit of aftershave on my face after fake shaving, where I didn't really have any hair. Anyway, well,
Can I just say, I've got to throw this in there because this might make you laugh. I was messaging him the other day. on we've got a little group with him and Cunt and my other mate that we grew up with. Let me see if I can find it, because it does even reference that. Oh, I really hope I can find it. Here we go. We was talking about he was the only bloke we knew that had fingered someone, and it was to Keith Sweat. He put on a bit of Keith Sweat. A bit of like late 80s R&B.
Right, gotcha.
And
started soaring away.
He's literally just messaged, they were the days, mate. A bit of fingering to Keith Sweat, and then we walked back from the bonbon to your ass with me shoving my fingers up your nose. It was like, Jesus, actually been in a...
That's a woman, mate. She's a woman now.
What's your number four, dude?
Well, I'm going to throw in, obviously, the classic 90s aftershave for man and woman, CK1.
Oh, I thought he was going to go Obsession.
Nah, CK1 was mine. So basically, it's funny because when I did a little checkup as well, after done my top five, CK1 came up. I was like, I'm not going crazy. But like, even now, I know, like, if I smell CK1, it will take me immediately to a very, even like a specific night. It's really weird, but I was at Clacton Silver Dawn Caravan site.
It's just a pearl necklace time.
No. That was literally 5 years before it, which is tragic to think. That was how young I was when I was talking about that. And I remember, like, mum had bought me a turquoise Ben Sherman shirt. And we, yeah, I just, you know, and I whipped out the CK1, bit of fucking VO5 mousse in me air in my curtains. Yeah, that's it. Dashed on a bit of CK1 and down to the pub, which is basically a lot of my family would hang out in this pub in Clacton on this caravan. So, mix it up, mate. Maybe have a bottle of Nuki Brown Ale, which incidentally, when I went to Bristol last couple of weekends ago with the boys, they were like, what do you want? And there was just a bottle of Nuki Brown Ale there winking at me. And I ordered the Nuki Brown Ale. And I think this barmaid just fell in love with me on ordering it. You know when
you were CK1?
I was. She was. It was made in heaven. But yeah, whenever I smell CK1, I'm just like, I might buy myself a little tiny bottle of it just for the fucking shits and gigs, mate. Because
what was the black one? Was that CKB?
Oh, that's it. Yeah, CKB. It was more citrusy, wasn't it? CKB.
I don't know. I had a bottle of that. Yeah. I think I've had CK1. Right.
Oh, mate, it reminds me of every rave I ever went to as a 16, 17-year-old, like the teeny bopper raids, because as we know, I look way too young to get into, like, proper grown-up nightclubs. Loved it, mate.
I've never been one for spending loads of money on aftershave.
Not loads. But probably one of the best smelling ones is, I remember working at the Ombudsman, and there was a lad there called Phil, and he used to wear, like, one of the original Creeds. And I was tempted to suck his dick a few times because he just smelt so good. Yeah, he smelt so good. But then I'd be like, how much is that, Bill? And he'd be like, it's about £180 a bottle. I was like, fuck that. I'm not playing that game.
Yeah.
But then my scent is Murdoch Black Tea. That's my favourite scent. It's quite expensive. It's probably £80 a bottle, but not a
Murdoch,
huge bottle of
Mr.
it.
Mr. T.
Murdoch, which is a barbering brand. Right. Mr. T, black tea.
Hmm.
And it's just incredible. But Molly's allergic to it. She can't even wear it because she gets like, she's allergic to basically all perfume. So that's why I stink like shit. Just in case.
Cat Cow hates aftershave.
Oh, so she?
I very rarely wear it.
It makes you feel good though, right? Sometimes.
Oh, I love
put a little
it.
Bit
Do
of
you know
slap
what?
On.
I had, I've done a podcast in lockdown, probably about a year into it, and with this fella called Sam. And he was like, I haven't had a proper chat with anyone for so long. I've been so looking forward to this. And I might have been our listening. And he turned up on Zoom, and he was looking great. He was dressed up for it. And I was so excited for this Zoom call. I put aftershave on. I thought, that's fucking brilliant. Got so excited to put aftershave on for a Zoom call that like no one could smell you.
It's so funny. Like when I used to have a mix, yeah, it's so true. When I used to have a mix, sometimes I'd sort of like get my best t-shirt on and my favourite trainers on. It just got me in the right set of frame of mind.
Absolutely. Wonderful. Good shout,
mate. Right, so that's my four. So is this your four? Yeah, it'd be your four, won't it?
I'm gonna go for football stickers.
Oh, were they called Pirelli? Was that the brand who did that? Is that or per?
It was
per something.
Perini, wasn't it?
Sorry, Pirelli's attire.
Pellini. And so I've still got my sticker book, and I think the earliest one I've got is 1980. Pellini. Why have I forgotten
what it's called? It isn't Pellini. Football sticker book.
Oh, it's going to drive me mad. Are you looking it up?
Yeah, I'm going to have a look. Football sticker maker. Panini.
Panini.
Panini. There you go, yeah. Panini. It's a little guy with a joust, isn't it? A little knight with a joust.
Yeah, and they'd change, around the time of, like, Mexico 86, you used to be able to get, like, stickers of the mascots. I think the mascot for 86 was called PK. I've got like the Panini 1980 football sticker album, and then it was Europa 80, and then it was Hispania 82, and then obviously, and then it was Mexico 86, And I think I collected stickers every year until maybe 87, probably 86. I think Mexico was the last time I went. But just tearing that paper open, the smell of them like five stickers all being stuck together.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
And if you fan them out and you see a little bit of silver, and I remember you just go, badge, I've got a badge. Like the badge of the team.
Yeah.
Would be a thicker sticker.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah.
You know, it was silver. And then you'd peel the sticker off to put it in the sticker book, and the smell. I remember sticking it in and then like the kind of the waxy side of the back. Sniffing it and just thinking, like, so I'm going to go 1980 stickers.
A treat that is. And it's like that, like, you know, back in the day, things always, life felt so much more finite than it does now. Like, because I guess people collect Pokemon cards and all that, and that's a really big deal. Like, there's a lot of money to be made in Pokemon cards. But I mean, like, back then, it just felt like things were so, it was harder to get hold of stuff. Like, you couldn't just watch any movie. If I said to you now, oh shit, I haven't seen this film, or I want to see this film, in two clicks, I can rent that film. Whereas back in the day, it's like, oh shit, have you seen such and such? It's like, no. It's like, oh, I want to. You go to your bloody Blockbuster, it's rented out or whatever. And it's like things like stickers. When you find the like one of those little badges, you just feel like you've won the fucking lottery, mate.
Yeah. And if you needed to sort of complete a team or whatever, you know, you'd have to hustle around the playground with your swapsies and see what you'd had. And sitting there, I remember just going like, need to feel. And it was like, and if you got a need to feel, you knew that that was the one that could fill that page. And yeah, the excitement back then of doing that was fucking brilliant. And there was, you know, there was like Star Wars stickers as well. I got the Star Wars sticker book. There was Superman stickers. I remember doing the first, when the Superman film came out, I got Superman stickers, got Raiders of the Lost Ark book. I still got them all in my loft. Like, I don't think I ever completed any books.
It's fucking tough, mate. Like, you didn't come.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
From a financial background where that was a viability, and also you didn't have things like eBay then. Like now, you can complete sets probably quite easy, but
yeah, of course.
Like it was like that was an impossible task, mate.
Yeah.
It was like a fucking, how are you ever going to do it? But you know what? I guess like life itself, it's the pursuit of it as opposed to the end result that's important, and all that fun you got, and the teaching of gratitude and longing and patience, and knowing that you ain't going to get it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, interesting life lessons from a fucking stupid football sticker book. So, my number three, I'm gonna match you. I'm gonna try and match some of this energy. And this is kind of the one that I don't think, if you know, you know, it's one of those ones, right?
Right.
And you won't know this one, right?
Okay.
But there is a smell, right? So I think I first got my first games console was a Master System, and I remember playing it at my rich uncle Roger's house with my cousin James, right? And he had a Master System. Alex the kid, I fucking loved it. And I absolutely chewed my parents' ears off about getting a Master System, like, you know, as kids do. And I remember getting that Master System, and that console, it's weird because you might get it with like hi-fis and stuff. It's kind of a similar, it's almost the same, but not quite. The Sega console would come out in polystyrene, and then the technology would be wrapped in like in a plastic bag, and it has a very specific smell. And even more so, once you get the SNES, the smell you got off the wrapping or the PlayStation, it is like, I like, that is one of my absolute most favorite smells, because there's nothing you wanted more than that. And when you finally get your hands on that console that you've been, because, you know, you're only going to get it for your birthday or Christmas. That's it. You're not going to get it prematurely. Yeah. There's no fucking way on earth you're going to get an impulse purchase from your dad. Unless your dad's been sleeping, cheating on your mum behind her back and she's found out. You're not going to get like some like impulse purchase to make the family happy.
Yeah.
So you've been waiting. So everything around unboxing it, it's a bit, you know, talking about KTP again, like the unboxing of it is just so, so powerful and exciting. It's overwhelming. That smell is fucking insane. And it's the same as like when you've got the computer games, like you'll get the, you get the game and the game be wrapped in that same sort of like packaging. You open it, you smell it, and it's just like, it's the smell of the anticipation before you consume the thing that you've been desperate for.
Yeah.
And like, so it's just the same, it's the exact same thing as that sticker smell. It's like, because they talk about, you know, addictions and habits. The strongest, most, the highest point of release of dopamine is that instance just before you consume what you really want. And so that, you know, when you're unpackaging it, is literally when your dopamine receptors are going fucking insane and your brain is making that relationship to the smell of that, that, you know, sticker or the console. And so I bet a lot of people also say that, like that smell of unwrapping a console is like fucking, even when I opened up the Xbox the other month when I bought one, it's the same thing. It's like, fuck me, I'm 42 and I feel, you know, 9 again.
Yeah, man. That's nice, isn't it?
Mm, oh, yeah, for sure. Thank God for smells.
Okay, my number 3. I'm going to go from my nan's house. Or like
that is so good, yeah.
Like, my I'd go around my nan's and she was making a roast dinner.
Yeah.
And like,
such a good one.
Because my nan had a coal fire in her kitchen.
Yeah.
And so I'd go in there, I could smell like the coal fire.
Yeah.
And obviously nan's just cooked everything in probably lard.
Yeah.
I just remember like when there was like Yorkshire puddings, she didn't make like one of them ones where like, you know, where you get like your tray of like your 12 Yorkshires on.
Yeah.
She'd make like a big like fucking tray of it.
Yeah.
And like, you'd cut like a slice, like you would have pizza.
Oh, lovely, yeah.
And she'd make like baked suet as well.
Oh, yeah.
And like, chances are I'm going to die of a heart attack because I've been brought up on that sort of stuff. But it was just like, everything was like proper home cooked. And it just had a smell that my other nan's dinners didn't, my mum's dinners, because that nan's house was like my absolute place of like joy and happiness. Mm. And it was like the best place I could be. And it just, everything about the house had its own unique smells. And I could still smell like whatever toilet fucking cleaner they had in the toilet upstairs. And they had like one of them sort of pink furry toilet seat lids that matched the
toilet roll cover for the toilet roll.
Was a doll.
And
the dress that you pull the knitted dress over the bog roll. And I could still smell it there.
Can I just stick a pin in that? How inconvenient is that?
It's pointless.
Like because, like, you know, there's only two people in this household, right? Yeah. And let's be honest, Molly's not the person putting the toilet through its paces. It's gonna be me, right? Drinking all the heel shakes. Like, but we get through so much toilet roll, like, and it's like, who's got time? You know, there's always an argument over like time in changing the toilet roll. Right? Are you the person who's like, really, you should change it now because there's like one thread of paper on there. Why are you leaving it?
Dude, I've got kids, right?
Mate, I can't even imagine how frustrating.
And there's just a toilet roll on the floor by the side of the toilet roll with just an empty toilet tube. And I just think, seriously?
I live with a kid then. Yeah, I know.
And like, I literally can't. I just do it now because I just think, there's no point. They're 21 and 18. It doesn't matter how many times I tell them, they're just not going to do it. And it's frustrating because
it's so frustrating.
You're sitting down anyway. You're not doing anything.
Yeah.
If you take your phone to the toilet, have a word with yourself. Like, just take it off, put a new toilet roll on, think about the next person. Simples.
Well, we hope we've sorted out a few things there. But going back to the old grandson, I haven't done the nan's house, and I feel like I missed the trick with that.
Yeah,
because it's such a smell, you know. And it's incredible, really. I don't like, even though, like, some of it, like, you go into, like, a spare room there, it'd be a bit more. It's not mouldy and it's not musty.
I know what you mean.
It smells that time has passed in that room, basically, is the best way to put it.
Exactly that. Because they haven't got the money.
Yeah.
They didn't have the money.
Different world.
To kind of go, right, well, let's get a nice new duvet cover on that. It would have been like, probably on that bed would have been like three blankets and like an eiderdown.
Yeah.
And it would have been there, probably no one using that room.
Yeah.
And there probably would have been a wardrobe full of clothes that they've probably had since the 50s.
Yeah.
And so that stuff would have aged. And it brought with it a smell that, I guess sometimes if you go to like a bazaar
charity
or
shop.
A jumble sale charity still kind of smell
catch
that.
It and, sometimes, yeah.
And like, I don't know, like a lot of people had mothballs back in the day. But I think it was just that time had passed in them rooms.
Yeah.
And they hadn't had the money to, you know.
Renew it. In many ways, like there's great, it's great that we live like we live now, but you know, that the worst thing is that we have gone through a phase, we're starting to pull back on it now with materialism, where people are trying to have slow fashion, slow down. If you're gonna get rid of something, okay, you don't want that cupboard anymore. Okay, does someone else want it? Because I think we've gone through a massive phase, and even I've got mates now who just don't recycle, I'm just like, what are you doing? They're like, it won't make a difference. And I'm like, that's beyond nihilistic to think like that.
I drive slow. That's what I do.
You fucking God. Yeah. You might save the planet with that. But the old Nan smell. Well, I'm not going to, because my number one could be linked similar to that, but I don't want to say my number one just yet. So I'm going to sort of like slightly diverge from my number two and just say the smell of a bonfire for me is super nostalgic. Like that, the smell of just after a fireworks gone off or a sparkler is just like, obviously just sucking me straight back to, like, and actually bonfires take me one of my favorite, as a kid, I had five nights of the year that were just off the chart, super exciting. So you would have, obviously Christmas Day, come on now, let's not fuck about Christmas Day, your birthday, obviously. But obviously, I loved Halloween. Halloween's always been my favourite sort of like season. But bonfire night for me was a massive thing on the calendar, because I would go to Basildon Rugby Club with Jay and Ben Simpson, and there would just be like, everyone would do the bonfire, but there would be upwards of 40 kids there, and we'd all play runouts every year at bonfire night. And because the rugby club was big, there was a massive car park there. This game of runouts was like just the, it was a calendar highlight. We knew we'd be playing runouts at bonfire night. And so I just have that. Obviously, I smell the burning wood and, you know, see the fireworks and smell that. And it's just that, it's like Pavlov's dog. Like, I almost want to start going, right, okay, let's form up into teams. You guys run off, and then you've got to try and get back to base. But yeah, I mean, like bonfires are just it's just a powerful smell, and you can link it to camping and all those other bits as well. It's a fucking powerful smell, that, and a powerful sight, isn't it? Obviously, the burning flame is just, no wonder we thought we'd taken something from the gods when we invented fire. Interestingly, I'm a descendant of the person who invented fire.
That's a lie.
No, I'm a descendant of them.
No, that's a lie.
Well, I come from a long line of inventors. I invented Baz Vegas.
That's right.
Because most things have been invented by the time. That's why my invention isn't as good. By the time I was born, everything had been invented. But my great-great-great-great-great-granddad, he invented fire.
Wow.
My uncle invented the wheel.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it just did the 1700s.
It's so weird you say that. It's a great shirt. Bonfires again and fireworks. It was at my nan's house. My granddad had a big garden, and my granddad would have a bonfire and he'd prep it. And then we'd go there and we'd have jacket potatoes and stand in the garden, like, and just literally
love it.
Jacket spuds and watch
it. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
Fireworks. Yeah. Oh, good shout. Good shout, mate.
What's your number two, bro?
My number two. Opening Star Wars figures.
Oh, wow. And, yes.
Not just Styles. I'm sure you could probably relate to He-Man and that plastic smell.
Mate, that plastic smell, yeah.
Of when you open a figure or... Yeah, not so much a vehicle, but I think more figures, whether it's Action Force for me or Star Wars. Like, you'd open it and just smell the... Like, literally... smell the figures. And over lockdown when I bought them all again, like, just smell amazing.
Yeah.
And I think it just, that smell of toys and essentially figures is just that nostalgia hit of when life was easier and life was more simple, and just spending £1.50 maybe once a month if you could afford it on a Star Wars figure.
Yeah.
Was just the ultimate joy.
Yeah, man.
You couldn't wait to get home and then get your other figures out and set them up and make a base and whatever. It was the best.
Absolutely. Going shopping with your mum and then somehow you struck gold and you're taking back fucking, a Star Wars toy. It's just like, what the fuck? I mean, it's so exciting. They've got their little gun in the vac, you know.
I was never allowed to open it until I got home. Wait till you get home, you'll lose the gun.
It's so true, isn't it? Like, and then you can lose it in the carpet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just a shout out. Obviously, I'm a Warhammer geek. The smell of plastic glue, or like miniature paints. Fucking hell, mate! That's a really strong nostalgic tip for me.
Pritt stick.
Tipex. Play-Doh.
That was nearly my number one.
Oh really? Oh fuck! I took a bit of a risk there. No, I've got
two left. So
sorry, mate.
Between them, but yeah, Play-Doh is definitely a great honourable mention.
Lovely. Well, so that means we're both on our ones now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. So mine is a smell of an old pub. So I was drinking since I was about six.
Gotcha.
Incidentally, talking about that, I watched Crocker Gold. The Shane McGowan documentary with Molly two nights ago.
Good, isn't it?
Oh, it's amazing. That's it's something
Nick
else.
Cave and,
he's briefly Bobby in it. Gillespie, and then Johnny Depp, Bobby Gillespie's in it. Yeah. Oh, mate, it was incredible. And he was drinking from six.
Read his book. Read his book. It's unreal. I think it's called A Drink with Shane McGowan.
Yeah.
I think he likes a drink.
Nah. Anyway, I was just joking about drinking from when I was six. I was drinking from when I was four, so I'm two better than Shane McGowan and two uglier as well as a result. Old pub smells. Fuck me. Like, it's funny. Like, I could interchange any of these, really, as my number one.
Yeah.
And I've got a few other special honourable mentions like you, but it's weird. Me and Greg, when Greg came and visited me about 2 years ago, and we did a bit of work on this house, at the end, literally 50 metres from my house is a pub called the Princess of Wales, right? And it has been untouched by time. Mm-hmm. And yet, when I was with Molly, we never went in there because, like, Molly took one look at it and thought, not really my thing. And I was like, cool, no worries. And then, literally, within about 4 hours of Greg visiting me, we were in there. And I literally walked through that front door, looked at the decor, and fucking took a big breath in, and it was just like, oh, I'm home. This smells amazing. Like, and it's just like an old man's boozer.
Yeah.
And I have spent a lot of time in them, I guess. Like, not in my youth. Like, I'm not trying to be like, I'm not, obviously saying I was drinking young. I drank probably at the same age. Most of us did. But I did, like, at some point, especially once I got to 18, 19, I frequented a lot of boozers. Mm. I spent a lot of my time drinking in them. Or even when I was younger, going around with my dad when we would visit family and we would go into boozers then. Like, even Christmas Day, My dad and my uncles would visit boozers and they would have a certain smell. And I'm not talking about the smell of a floor in a nightclub, like before everyone's in there. I'm not talking about that, although it's a nostalgic smell in and of itself. It doesn't have that smell. I'm not even saying it's the greatest smell in the world, but it's a very specific one. It's a mixture of like dust, ash, beer that's been slopped on the floor, people. testosterone, you know, and just, you know, good times, really. And I don't know, we walked in there and it just fucking, this smell just slapped me around the face. And I was just like, fucking, I love that smell. And I guess it's good as a number one because it's not like CK1, you could go, well, it's obviously designed to be a pleasant smelling aftershave. Like a pub smell, it's even like one step above your nan's house, isn't it? Because your nan's house is nice. There might be elements of sweet aromas in there or whatever. But again, your nan's house also isn't like the nicest smelling aftershave in a sense. And an old pub smell is above that in the sort of like, it's just its own thing. It's a combination of things, probably floor cleaner. I don't know, mate. Or even the lacquer on the wood and stuff at the 100%. Bar. I know, just gets you.
I have no idea why anyone would ever go to a pub that's like new. I just don't get it. I don't understand how you go into a pub where there's chrome and I just don't get it. Like,
well, like wine bars don't really.
It's fucking awful. And it's like, just go and find an old pub. And it's the best. Like, and if it's got a log fire in it, you are winning at life. And and I'll tell you what, I went out for, I really wanted a pint. I'd done nothing at the weekend. I just wanted to go and have a pint. And there's a little village near where I live called Alsett. And they just had a refurb of the really old pub.
Mm.
And it just been done so well. And like, and it just contained everything about what it was. And it's not a pub I can walk to, but it was like, let's just get there. Mm. And like, and I just went in there. Oh, walked in, fire was on, like, got the pints of Guinness and just sat there just thinking, oh, have you got any crisps? And they went, yeah, we've got potatoes. And I was like, oh, God, this is fucking started incredible. Crying. I just thought, like, this could be the greatest night of my life.
yeah.
It was so good. Yeah. And if you go to new pubs, what is wrong with you? Like, I just don't get it. Witherspoons, ignore them. Right.
What's your number one, mate?
The Christmas decoration box.
That is genius. That is fucking superb, Stu.
Because it's a box has been in your life for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And you only smell it once a year.
Yeah, on the best day of the year.
On the best day.
Famously the best day of the year, yeah.
And so that excitement that you put in the Christmas decorations up is already fever pitch.
Yeah.
And you open that box and you see the decorations that I've still got decorations in our box that I made when I was infant school. Yeah. Obviously all the ones the kids had made. And it's just a nostalgia hit of the best time of the year.
Yeah.
And it's just, you know, that Christmas tree, you know, we've got, like, we buy a tree, but we've also got a plastic one that we put in the kitchen, and just undoing that plastic tree and then just sort of straighten out all the, you know, the branches.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like, it smells amazing. And just like, bit of tinsel and like all of that stuff that's just kind of giving your Christmas a visual for however many years, and it just comes loaded with smells. Again, it's a little bit of that sort of aged smell because you've had that in,
been up in the loft for a bit, and
for years. Like, so I'm gonna go for
that is a really great number one, that, mate, because it has all those things that, like, it's all those alert cues of anticipation and of reward, and of the absolute pinnacle of anything is Christmas fucking day, mate. Before pubs, before aftershaves, this is like this is going back to fucking literally as early as you can remember, the day that you would go insane for.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the hailing of it, isn't it? Like, I mean, obviously, in this day and age, it is the hailing of it is fucking October getting Christmas adverts by some cunt. But like, it's that's the more authentic, trigger for me for Christmas, mate. And yeah, you're totally right, mate. You should whip that. You open that up. I can remember. I just know the smell of those. You know those concertina things, that you hang off the ceiling. Oh, mate, I love it. I guess these days we don't go full, like, we don't have like the 80s vibe in the house, like with Molly. I've had to move so many times as well. And moved out of my parents' house. I've lost quite a lot, well, pretty much all of the old decorations now, really, because I had nowhere to store once mum's house went. And we've got our own that we bought for our flats and stuff like that. So I kind of don't have that. And but I would, you know, I wouldn't mind at some point saying to Molly, listen, can we just go fucking full 80s tat for Christmas?
Because you don't, I think a lot of times have changed now, because as a kid, like, we'd have like them little paper chains and we'd just lick and stick them hoops and have them going from like corner of the ceiling to like the middle of the room and then to the corner of the other ceiling, then the corner of the other corner of the room. And then we'd have, like you say, them weird sort of like bronze, silvery kind of concertina things that you just back then, I think everyone had like that kind of, you know, the Artex ceilings and stuff. Whereas now everyone's got this like pristine white plaster and you don't want to be slamming fucking
blue tack
of like blue tack and fucking paper drawing pins in your ceiling. But back then it was like, oh, who gives a shit? It's Christmas. Let's get this shit up. I find it quite strange. Now, I actually went to a garden centre at the weekend. Layla's back from uni. She's like, we got the garden centre. It's that one up by Basilet, up your way. And it's fucking massive. And there was like this, it was just full of fucking Essex people.
Disgusting.
And it was all just Christmas stuff. And like, it was just Christmas tree after Christmas tree. Like, and like, I just, there's something a little bit about a perfectly decorated tree that makes me a little sad. it was like, you need to buy this. It was just pure Essex. Everyone there wearing fucking men wearing Ugg boots.
She going to say that.
Fucking just, babe, like, should we get this? And it was like, fucking tree was about a grand, and then every fucking thing on it was like silly money. And it's like, you should buy it from a garden centre as well. They're famously cheap garden centres. and I was just looking at it, I was thinking, oh, you know what? Just wrap some tinsel around the tree, some fucking decorations that the kids have made, and like, you know,
go to the factory shop and get yourself a nice, light up Christmas nativity village and some other electronic tat. When I go to Billy and Kenny's house in Clacton, they have got, I reckon, probably about, I have a bit of cognitive dissonance with this because I love this, but at the same time, my modern sensibilities of energy wasting, they conflict. But Billy and Kenny's house, they have about 60 fucking of these like talking Santas and weird lights and reindeers. And it's just like, you go there and it's just like, it's just so good. So I love it. I can't help it. But like, also, the weird thing is now I drive past people's houses. There's people's houses in Margate already lit to the nines. And they were two weeks ago, we saw it, one house. And it was like, shit, that looks great. And I'm also like, what's the environmental impact to that? Right. Like, I don't know.
But let's balance it as well. Yes, it's not going to be great for the environment. They're LEDs. I'm sure they're not.
Yeah, you might be right. I don't know.
But fuck me, life's bad at the moment. The world's fucking horrible.
Yeah.
And do you know what? If putting a few lights on makes you have a little warm feeling in your belly.
Yeah. It's very true, mate.
You know, get that hit while you can at the moment. Fuck me, it ain't the most fun out there. Anyway, that's putting a fucking...
No, we've had a really lovely, nostalgic chat. And then I went all eco.
We'll pick back up on Christmas, I'm sure, in the next few weeks, because it's only around the corner.
Yeah, so we'll have
some festive vibes for you. In the meantime, we're done, right?
Yeah, hope you enjoyed that, guys. Let us know what your nostalgic smells are.
Or Gareth Fingers.
It's a drunken soiree in the within.
Chris and Stu present Our Core Listing, the podcast.